which was in existence in Jesus' time. And Jesus came as the mediator of a new covenant to raise that higher. Everything that Jesus did and said was to raise the standard much higher than it was in the old covenant. Remember what Jesus said about John the Baptist. He said he was the greatest prophet, the greatest man born up until that time. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Dear brothers and sisters, that is our calling, to be faithful. And I want to read a verse from Hebrews in chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3 we read, "Therefore, holy brethren," verse 1, "partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession." When it says consider, it means look carefully at Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful. That's our subject. He was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was also in his house. And then it goes on to say, "For he has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses." But it says here in verse 6, "Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant." And that's the thing I want you to notice. Verse 6, "But Christ was faithful as a son." That's the difference between old covenant and new covenant. The concept of stewardship in Jesus' time is to be faithful as a servant. And that's all that everybody could do under the old covenant. That's why nobody called God as Father. All the Old Testament saints called God as God. They knew him as God, as Master. And they were servants. But Jesus came and initiated something new. And that's where we are to follow him. We're not followers of Moses. We have the concept that to be a servant of God is greater than to be a son of God. That's completely wrong. You know, we respect people saying someone is a servant of God. You say, "I'm only a son of God." Is that how it's supposed to be? I mean, if I were to introduce you to, if you came to my home and I said, "This is my son and this is my servant," whom would you respect more? Moses was a servant. Jesus was a son. We're not called to be servants. We're sons who serve, which is a lot of difference between that and servants who serve a master.
Yes.
That's the difference that we need to understand. And so, what does this mean in practical terms? You see, a servant is like an employee. Think of a business, a store that a man runs. He's got employees there who work for a salary. They look at the clocks. Time to go home. Maybe 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, evening, they got to go home. But think if his son is working in that store. He's not working for a salary. He's a partner with his father. And he will sit up to midnight if necessary. That is the difference between those who serve God as servants and those who serve God as sons. And you don't have to be in full-time work to serve God as a son. Every child of God, the Bible says, "In the last days I'll pour out my flesh, spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, they will be my servants." Every one of us is to be a full-time son of God and a full-time son and daughter serving God. That's how it should be. We may do different things to earn our living, but that doesn't alter the fact that we're to be sons and daughters of God serving him, being faithful as a son. In other words, it says here, consider Jesus, because he's the example. Jesus never told us to admire him. A lot of Christians admire Jesus. But he always said, "Follow me, follow me, follow me." He said those words more than any other words. So in this area of being a faithful servant as a son, we're supposed to admire him. And more than that, we're supposed to follow him. In other words, look at him. See how he did it, like the Bible says later on in Hebrews. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we run this race. So when we look at his example, how a son served his father, We learn a number of things. Let me turn you, first of all, to John chapter 17. See, when we talk about stewardship, a steward is not an owner. God is the owner of everything. And even though Jesus was God, equal with the Father from all eternity, when he came to earth, he relinquished those privileges that he had as God. He was still God, of course. He accepted worship and things like that on earth. But he lived on earth as an example for us as a man. And he recognized his Father as the owner of everything. Amen. And see this verse in John 17, at the end of his life, before he went to the cross. He says these words. There's a great secret hidden here. John 17:10. All things that are mine are thine. Jesus didn't give 10% to his Father. Those who give 10% to God get 10% from God. Jesus said, all that is mine is thine. And therefore he said, all that is thine is mine. See, that was his position as a son. The concept in Jesus' time as a servant was you give 10% to God of your harvest and your herds. Give one day in seven to God, the rest of the days are for you. Give your firstborn son to God, the rest of the children are yours. But it's all changed in the new covenant. Because we're not servants, we're sons. And the son says, Father, all that I have is yours. And the son, Father says, Son, all that I have is yours. Do you know why we don't get more from God? Because we are very calculating in the way we give to him. We treat God as a master and we are servants and say, many people give God like giving to the IRS. What is the minimum I have to give? That's the attitude of a servant. The concept in Jesus' time was, what is the minimum I have to give to God? And that's how those people gave. They would calculate 10% of dill and cumin and everything else, and Jesus said, well, you should have done all that, but there are weightier matters than that. But they could not come into the position of a son until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Well, on the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they could become sons. And dear brothers and sisters, that is what Pentecost was supposed to bring. To change us from servants into sons. That our attitude of serving God as stewards is not the attitude of a servant. Not in terms of how much salary am I going to get from God. Not if I give this to God, what will he give to me? That's doing business. No son deals like that with his father. Servants will do like that with their master. A servant will tell his master, if I do this for you, how much more salary will you give me? What will you give me? Is that the way you serve God? Then you are under the old covenant. A son never deals with his father like that. His whole attitude is, all that I have is yours, Dad. And all that you have is mine. He knows that. Everything of God's is his. And that's recognizing that the earth belongs to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, the earth is the Lord's and all that it contains. Once I recognize that the earth is the Lord's and everything that it contains, I recognize nothing is mine. Then I can be a true steward. Has God given me talents? They're not for me. They are for him. Has God given me money? That's for him, not 10%, but all of it. Has God given me health? It's to be used entirely for him. And I'll find him when I do that, that God gives himself completely to me. Dear brothers and sisters, we must be living testimonies to this fact, so that we live by this principle. No longer like the old covenant servants, but as new covenant sons. So let me just give you a couple of examples of how Jesus lived as a son. In Matthew chapter, the first temptation that came to Jesus is very illustrative. of some principles that he lived by. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 that if anyone, the Living Bible paraphrases it like this, if anyone says he's a Christian, he must live as Christ did. Think of that verse. It's in your Bible, whichever translation you use. He who says he abides in him must walk as he walked. We don't become like him till he comes again. That's clear in the next chapter, 1 John 3, 2. But we are to walk like him by the same principles that motivated Jesus' life. Every Christian, this is not for full-time Christian workers. This is for every single member of the body of Christ. Everyone who's born again, if you say you abide in Christ, we must walk as Jesus walked by the same principles by which he lived. Not as a servant, but as a son. Faithful in the stewardship of everything that God has given us. So let me give you an example here. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. You remember the devil came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus had just been anointed 40 days earlier. This is at the end of the 40-day fast. And at the River Jordan, he'd been anointed. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. So the devil was pointing to that event. If you're really the Son of God, and if you've been anointed from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit, then you have certain powers. It was not like the old days when you were in Nazareth, you were just a carpenter, you were not anointed with the Spirit those days. Now you have the anointing. Now you declare to the Son of God you have certain powers. Why don't you use those powers? For example, turn the stones into bread. In other words, use the power you have received through the anointing 40 days ago to satisfy your own need. Got it? Use the power God gave you under the anointing to satisfy your own need. Jesus said, no. I will not use the power God has given me to get benefit for myself. I wish every servant of God had understood that principle. Amen. That God does not anoint me to make some personal benefit for myself, to make money for myself, to get honor for myself, to promote myself. That's what the devil wants me to do. I remember when I started serving the Lord, this is what the Lord showed me from this temptation. He said, the devil will tempt you in the same way. I've anointed you. Use that anointing to get a name for yourself, to make money for yourself, to get honor for yourself, to promote yourself, to get invited here and there. And I said, Lord, I'll never do it. I'm going to follow Jesus, who said, no, man shall not live by all that. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. And all of us, my brothers and sisters, are to live like this. But he would not use that for himself, but that same power that God gave him through the anointing. When he had to feed 5,000 people with bread, he was willing to use that power to make bread for others. He would never make bread for himself, but he would make it for others. This is the spirit of Jesus Christ. And this is how we are supposed to walk. This is how we are supposed to serve. He was faithful. He was faithful in the sense, how was he a faithful steward? By not using the anointing and power God gave to him for himself, but for the benefit of others. And this is what many have not understood. The fruit of the Spirit, that's for me. The fruit of the Spirit of joy, I'm blessed by it. Of course, indirectly I bless others when I'm full of joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. I'm blessed by it. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come through the anointing are all for others. When Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the first sermon that he preached in Nazareth, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, for others. He sent me to proclaim release to others, to the captives. Luke 4:18. He sent me to proclaim recovery of sight for others, to the blind. to set free the downtrodden. I hope you see the difference between the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is for me. My life is changed if I am filled with the love of God. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, indirectly the blessed. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He anoints me with are entirely for others. John Wesley used to tell his co-workers in the early Methodist Church in the 18th century, "Let it never be said that you made money by preaching the gospel." What a man he was. That's how he maintained a certain standard among those early Methodist preachers. "Let it never be said that you made money by preaching the gospel. If you made it through business, that's your business. But when it comes to using God's gifts to get benefit for myself, that's contrary to the Spirit of Christ." A servant can do that. A servant can keep asking his master for a higher salary and keep on increasing, ask for an increased wages. He can ask for many things, for benefits and pension and all types of things. But a son has got a completely different attitude. And when we have this type of relationship with our Father, we can lead others also into that type of relationship. And I want to show you another example. In John chapter 6, you know the story. After the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus said, "Gather up the fragments that remain." I see a faithfulness there in his stewardship. I mean, he could produce such abundance. And when we have the ability to produce abundance, we can be careless and not be faithful in gathering up the fragments so that there is no wastage. A true son makes sure that in everything God gives him, there is no wastage. God gives us 24 hours a day. We can waste a lot of that time. God says, gather up those fragments of time. I remember in the early days when I was born again and baptized. And I was in the Navy and I was working on a ship as a naval officer. Before the Lord called me out, I didn't know anything about the Bible in those days. But I knew that if I wanted to be a true Christian, I had to study the Bible. And what I did was I'd carry a Bible in my pocket, and every spare moment I had during the day, I would gather up those fragments of time to study the scriptures. That's how I got to know them. All of the scriptures in 7 years. It's possible. I find it so sad that we have a generation growing up today who know more about what's going on in television than the Word of God. And dear brothers and sisters, your parents, you have a responsibility to see that your children grow up to be witnesses for Christ in their generation. They cannot be those witnesses if you don't encourage them to study the scriptures. That's what I did with my 4 boys. Right from the earliest age, I encouraged them to study the scriptures. So all 4 of them are disciples of Jesus today and preaching God's word. But they can't do that if you don't urge them to study God's word. Gather up the fragments of time. Don't waste time. Don't waste the money God gives us. There should be no wastage in any area of our life. That is not God's way. An unfaithful steward couldn't care less. Servants couldn't care less whether there's wastage in the store, wastage in the production. But a son will be careful. And you and I need to ask ourselves whether in the different areas of our life where God has given us them, whether we are careful to gather up the fragments. And I see there a principle in Jesus' life. He was always faithful with whatever God had given him. When Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." And he could say in John 17:4, "I have glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do." I see something else there about stewardship. There are some people, if you give them a job to do, you can be absolutely sure that they will do the very best to complete the job. There are other Christians I've met, you can't be too sure. They'll always have some excuse why they couldn't do it. Or they do something, it's an incomplete job. But in those words that Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross, it is finished, we see a principle that motivated his whole life. Not only when he was serving his Father, but also when he was 30 years at home. We know that he was subject to his father and mother, his earthly father and mother, Joseph and Mary. And I see there was a principle in his life which we need to teach our children. If his mother told him to go to the village well and get a bucket of water, he would take his wooden bucket, draw the water, and you know what a temptation it is to fill half of it, bring it home. But he wouldn't do that. He'd fill the full bucket. The principle of it is finished. When he worked as a carpenter, if he made a table, it had to be a really good table. That was how he did everything. When he shared, when he preached God's word, he preached leaving out nothing. He took pains to preach God's word. Many a time when I'm invited to different homes for a meal, and I see all the trouble that the housewife there was taken to prepare that meal, I ask myself this question: have I taken as much trouble to prepare a word from God for people? It's amazing. Many, many who serve the Lord. I'm not talking about intellectual preparation. I'm not talking about, you know, having three nice points and to impress people. I'm talking about communicating that which God has on his heart for his people. It requires waiting on God. It requires listening to God. It's being faithful to communicate with God's people what he wants them to hear. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the new covenant. We're not supposed to live under the old covenant. We're not supposed to serve him as servants, but as sons and daughters. May that be true in our lives.